Welcome to Day of Destiny with Dr. Michelle Correll, author, prophetic teacher, and pastor of Breath of the Spirit Prophetic Word Center. Dr. Correll can be seen weekly, nationwide, and around the world on her weekly telecasts that air on God TV, Impact, and Word Network. Now, let's join Dr. Correll by experiencing Day of Destiny, designed with your highest destiny in mind. Now, here is Dr. Correll.
Let's look for a moment at Colossians chapter 2, verse 14, and see what the Bible says in Colossians 2, 14, so we can understand atonement. Colossians 2, 14 and 2, 15 says, hallelujah, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us. Oh my. And the Bible says he took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. Right now, in the name of Jesus, come on, saints, agree with me. Right now, in the name of Jesus, any handwriting of ordinances that is against anyone in this room tonight, we cancel it right now. And we cancel the assignment of anything written that is coming against anyone in this room. Whether it be a court case in the name of Jesus, whether it be a doctor's report in the name of Jesus, we cancel the handwriting of ordinances right now and command it, as it is written, to be nailed to the cross in the name of Jesus. Nailed to the cross. Hallelujah. I said nailed to the cross. Oh, Jesus, nail the sickness to the cross. Nail the court case to the cross. Nail anything, hallelujah, that has come against God's people. Nail it, Lord. Nail any accusation. Nail anything, oh God, that is written in the genetics. Oh my God, here's what the Lord's saying. I gotta speak it. It's a word of knowledge. I gotta speak it out. Just, many of us may not know that within ourselves, in our own blood, there is that DNA. And in the DNA actually commands the genes in our body. And there are some dispositions that have already been predetermined in the genetic coding that say we will have cancer or we will have some kind of sickness that's been predetermined in the genetic coding and in the DNA. But in the name of Jesus tonight, come on, we want to cancel every genetic coding that gives a disposition for cancer. In the name of Jesus, we break it off. Every disposition of arthritis or diabetes, we break it off in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. We command, because it's been nailed to the cross. In the name of Jesus, we command it. Right now, diabetes, we command it right now. Heart conditions, we command every bit of breast cancer. We command every bit of heart problems in the name of Jesus. Every DNA, every genetic coding in the name of Jesus, we bind it and we break the power of that writing according to Colossians 2:14. In the name of Jesus, give him praise if you believe it tonight. Give him glory if you believe it tonight. Oh, hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Oh, God. Oh, come on. Amen and amen. Oh, yes, Lord. Hallelujah. So we see, beloved saints, that in every book of the Bible, this is what many years ago that the Spirit of God began to reveal to us concerning the Day of Atonement, concerning the blood of Jesus. God began to speak to us about evidence of what happened on Calvary in every book of the Bible. Somebody ought to say, in every book of the Bible, there is a Calvary connection. And we must understand that the reason the Bible was written is because of Calvary. That the greatest miracle of all miracles was Calvary's cross. Are you with me, saints? Do you understand? Are you tonight cleaving to that cross? Amen. Notice what else happened as a result of the cancellation. The Bible says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, putting it out of the way, nailing it to his cross, having spoiled all principalities and powers. Can you say that with me? Every demonic spirit and the power of every demon has already been canceled in the name of Jesus. I receive atonement. I receive through the power of the atonement freedom. Say it with me, freedom from any demonic attack, from any principality, from any power. In the mighty name of Jesus, we release it now in Jesus' mighty name and give God the praise. Oh, yes, Lord. All right, so the Bible says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, putting it out of the way. So that's the cancellation of atonement. So atonement means to cancel. Atonement also means ransom. All right, a ransom for the soul. Say it with me. An atonement. To make a ransom for the soul. Let's go to Exodus 30 just for a moment so we can see how atonement and ransom. A ransom is a price that's paid. A ransom is something that is paid, a price that is paid so another person can live. It usually was a price in biblical times when a slave was purchased off the market. It was called a ransom. Jesus Christ ransomed us from spiritual slavery. He ransomed us from sin. Exodus chapter 30, looking at verse 16.
Hallelujah.
Exodus 30, verse 16. For thou shalt take the atonement money of the children of Israel, and thou shalt appoint it for the service of the tabernacle of the congregation, that it may be a memorial unto the children of Israel before the Lord, to make an atonement for your soul. Can I explain this so we understand what this atonement money was actually? Because it's a prophetic prefiguring of the price that was paid for Jesus, the 30 pieces of silver. Actually, this portion of the Torah is called the Shkalim. Can you say it with me? The Shkalim. The Shkalim mean the shekels. That in Israel, the law was, if we go back to verse 9, the law was that no man was able, verse 11, that there was no way that a person, the heads could be counted just by heads. Let's look at this. The Lord spoke to Moses saying, verse 12, when you take the sum of the children of Israel after their number, then they shall give every man what?
Ransom.
A ransom for his soul. Oh my. a ransom for a soul unto the Lord, that when you number them, that there may be no plague among them when you number them. Here's what was happening. It was against God's law in biblical times. The numbering was the national census that would take place in the nation of Israel before the troops went out to war. And so before going to war, there had to be an atonement over every head. I'm going somewhere with this. Because Israel was going to go to battle, and they had to have a covering over their head spiritually for every soul, not just for the body, for the soul. Are you hearing this? So every time Israel went to battle, a national census was taken. However, it was forbidden to take the census without a half a shekel of silver for each person. So in other words, half a shekel is like a penny. A half a shekel was given, and their count was by shekel, not by head. That if they went to war without the half a shekel, then they would be open to what was called the plague. In case we don't know what the plague is, let's go to 1 Chronicles chapter 21. And I'll show you an example of going to war without the shekel of silver. What happens? Okay, in 1 Chronicles 21, David numbered Israel. And guess what? He didn't number them. He was in a hurry to go to the war. And he didn't number them with the shekels, because there were tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of troops that had to be numbered, and had to be numbered by half a shekel. Are you with me? And so he wanted to go to war quickly. And the Bible says, watch this, Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel. Do you know what that means? That means Satan stood up to provoke David to number Israel so that they would go to war without the half shekel of silver. Do you know why? Because what would happen is Satan would accuse Israel before God. And if Israel was guilty on that accusation, they would have no protection in the war. He was looking for an entrance to be able to bring the plague against Israel. Are you hearing me? Before they went to war. Are you understanding this? This is the accuser standing up before God, accusing Israel for something. And if the numbering was done with a half a shekel of silver, he couldn't accuse them. I said he couldn't accuse them. I said the ransom could not allow them to be accused. Are you hearing me? The ransom, the half a shekel of silver, was a blood protection. Oh, somebody ought to hear it. I said it was a blood protection, so that no entrance of satanic accusation could come against Israel when they were numbered properly with a half a shekel of silver. Now let's go back and find out why silver was a ransom for a soul. How many of you want to know why silver was a ransom for a soul? Going back to Exodus chapter 30. Let's look at this. Just say, I'm claiming every piece of blood evidence that I see in the scripture. I'm applying it to my life and to the life of my children, to the life of my soul. I'm applying it to my body to be healed. I'm applying every word in the Bible, hallelujah, that shows me the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Somebody ought to shout and praise God. All right, we're looking at Exodus chapter 30, looking at verse 12, where we left off. I had to explain that to you. The Bible says, When you take the sum of the children of Israel after their number, then they shall number every man a ransom for his soul unto the Lord, that when you number them, that there may be no plague among them when you number them. Look at the next verse, please. Verse 13. This they shall give, everyone that passes among them that are numbered, a half a shekel of silver. Watch this. After the shekel of the sanctuary. Everyone say that. Say this with me. It couldn't be a secular shekel. Had to be a shekel from the temple that would go into the temple treasury. Say it with me. Temple treasury. Ask your neighbor, where have we heard temple treasury before? Somebody ought to say, where have we heard silver and the temple treasury before? Okay. It says a half a shekel after the shekel of the sanctuary, a shekel, and it tells us 20 gerahs. Now going on to verse 14. And verse 14 says, everyone that passes among them that are numbered from 20 years old and upward will give this offering unto the Lord. Just a small little tiny offering that had to be offered. And so they would count the shekels instead of the person, because the shekels would serve as a ransom for their soul when they went to war, so that the accuser had no entrance to accuse them in the battle. I'm going somewhere with this. Somebody ought to say, I think I know where we're headed. Hallelujah. Now watch this. The Bible says, let's go to verse 16. Verse 16 says, and you will take of the atonement money of the children of Israel, and you will appoint it for the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. Watch this. That it may be a memorial unto the children of Israel before the Lord to make an atonement for your souls. Okay, so it was appointed to the service of the tabernacle. Can I tell you what it was appointed, what service it was appointed for? How many would like to know what was done with the half a shekels of silver in terms of the service of the tabernacle? How many want to know? Okay, you got all these thousands of shekels. What are they going to be used for? Okay, they were used for a daily offering. They were used to purchase a special offering. An offering called the tamid. The tamid offering went on in the morning and in the between the evenings. I know it's really hard for us to say between the evenings. What time is that? That's really strange. Okay, there are some things in the scripture that are very hard to comprehend. Let's go for a minute to Exodus chapter 29. Today I'm just speaking to you about Day of Atonement, and I am showing you pieces of blood evidence in the scripture that will all match with only one person, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything in the Bible, hallelujah, that has to do with atonement only matches with one. Hallelujah. That's why we call it blood evidence. Looking, if you will, at Exodus 29, verse 30. Exodus 29, verse 30. Hallelujah. And it says, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, God, we give you praise. Oh, God, come on, let's just praise the Lord for a moment. Yes, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Yes. 38, I'm sorry. 38. Exodus 29, verse 38. The Bible says, now this is that which you will offer on the altar. Two lambs of the first year, day by day, continually. Now, the Bible says, next verse, one lamb shall they offer in the morning, and the other lamb shall they offer in the evening. If you look this word up in Hebrew, in the evening, it says, bayin. And bayin means between the evenings. So you say, what in the world, between the evenings? I've never heard of a time between the evenings. There's only one evening. What would you mean, between the evenings? The only way to find out what that means is you have to research the temple language of the first century that will help us understand what Moses meant way back then. And there is documents historically that are very important to biblical research, that are extremely accurate, that are in the rabbinic writings. And in these ancient rabbinic writings known as the Talmud, under the portion of Sanhedrin, there are quotes that say what time between the evenings is. That the first evening would be equivalent to 12 noon our time, which was the Roman sixth hour. And the final evening would be the 12th hour. So that between the evenings would be the ninth hour in Roman time, what is 3 o'clock our time. Between the evenings. Say 3 o'clock for a lamb to be slain. Oh my goodness, somebody ought to start praising the Lord. Okay, so it says, one lamb you will offer in the morning. So we need to know what time in the morning. It's very spiritually significant to get details. Jesus wants us to study the scripture with details. All right, so what time in the morning? The morning's very generalized. It could be dawn, which is the Boker, or it could be later than dawn. It could be 7 a.m. What time does the morning specify that the first lamb is shefted, means slit? What time? And if you look it up, and again, go to the Mishnah for our information from the Talmud, the Mishnah. And we will see under Sanhedrin again, we will find out that the first offering that was made of the first Tamid was the third hour. Now, why is that significant to Christians? It is very significant because if we go to the gospel according to Mark, let's go. Mark chapter 15, and look at verse 25. Mark 15, verse 25, the crucifixion of our Lord. You will see that Mark documents the hour they nailed him to the cross. That Jesus was nailed to the cross at the third hour. The third hour would be 9 a.m. in the morning. Notice what it says. It says, and it was the third hour, and they crucified him. So at the crucifixion, at the time the Lamb of God was being taken out and hung on the cross, and the nails went into his hands, it was the third hour. The same time, just a few kilometers away within the temple precinct. Just a walking distance was the first lamb that was taken out and shefted at the same time. Are you hearing me? If you are, say amen. Amen. Okay, this Tamid offering. Now, if you go back to Exodus 29, verse 38 and 39, let's look at it really quickly. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm going somewhere with this. Hallelujah. You've seen Exodus 30. Now we're asking what was done with the temple money that was laid up as a memorial before God, so that when God looked at it as a memorial, hallelujah, it's going to remind him of something. It's going to protect Israel from the accuser of the brethren. It's going to protect Israel at war when the Satan comes up to accuse Israel. The shekels of silver serve a price. They serve a reason, an eternal reason, so that there can be an event that looks like Calvary to God. Anything that looks like Calvary is an atonement. Are you with me? And so we're looking at Exodus 29, verse 38. Now, this is that. We already said that. Let's go to verse 39. It says in verse 39, one lamb will you offer in the morning. And we just reconciled that, didn't we? From Mark chapter 15, verse 25, that the morning is the third hour. And in Roman time, the third hour was 9 a.m. Got it? 9 a.m. our time. Okay, so the Roman third hour is 9 a.m. our time in the morning. You will offer the first one in the morning, and the other you will offer, remember we just spoke of it, between the evenings. Say it. Between the evenings. And now we need to reconcile that with the time Jesus gave up the ghost. If you go back to Mark, you will see in the 31st verse, Mark 15, 31. Oh my goodness. In Mark 15, 31, the Bible tells us as we go very quickly to that verse. In Mark 15, 31, the Bible says the chief priests mocking him said he could not save. And if we look down at verse 33, verse 33 says, and when the sixth hour was come, that would be 12 noon our time, there was a darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And the ninth hour would be our time, 3 p.m. Are you following this? Because we're going by the Roman time clock of ancient biblical New Testament time. Are you hearing this? They didn't have time like we keep it. They kept it Roman time. Are you hearing this? So Jesus, the last 3 hours on the cross, he hung on the cross 6 hours. The number of man. Man was created on the sixth day. And this is the sixth month, Elul. Are you following me? Jesus hung on the cross for 6 hours. Somebody ought to say, this is the month I'm getting delivered. Somebody ought to say some stuff that's been in my life is about to be broken off of my life because he hung on the cross for 6 hours. Somebody ought to give God the praise. So this is the sixth hour is when the darkness began. Remember, he was crucified in the third hour. Then the sixth hour was the time when the darkness began. The last 3 hours on the cross were hours of darkness. It is in these 3 hours of darkness is when death started to set into his body. And at those last 3 hours, Jesus fought to stay alive till it was finished. That is where the battle was going on with the powers of hell. The 3 hours of darkness after six hours of hanging, right in the smack in the middle, it's where the war began. I hope you're hearing this. With all satanic power beginning to scream, all satanic power beginning to be tortured, all of satanic power beginning to come under subjection, all satanic power beginning to be defeated, all principalities, all powers coming down, all the power of hell getting defeated, every sickness, every disease, every sin, hallelujah, every death, every curse, every hex, every vex, every demonic spirit, every witchcraft, every wicked thing that was ever done to your family or to your children, on those 3 hours, all satanic power was defeated. So that at the ninth hour, the Bible says, darkness over the whole land till the ninth hour. And in the ninth hour, Jesus cried out, this is the time between the evenings. Between the evenings, the time the second lamb was shefted. He cried out, Eli, Eli, sabachthani. Why? Lama sabachthani. why have you forsaken me? Are you hearing me? And he gave up the ghost and said, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. Now, going back to Exodus 30, the Lord said, you will lay it up as a memorial for the children of Israel for the service of the tabernacle. So because this was tamid, this offering is called the tamid. Set with me, the tamid. One lamb, set with me, one lamb in the morning and one lamb between the evenings. Tamid means it's a word. And it means continual offering before God. It also has the indication of eternity. You see, tamid is not just supposed to mean for the day. It represents as something eternal, something that never ends, something that is a continuous offering before God, something that is eternal, that happened before the foundation of the world, the tamid offering. And so those lambs had to be purchased two a day. So the priests would take the priests. Let me just say it again. I said the priests would take the shekels of silver from the sanctuary. And they would purchase lambs. Judas, when he sought to betray the Lord, he went to the chief priests. He had to go to the priests. He couldn't go to the Pharisees. He had to go to the priests. I said he had to go to the priests. And Jesus had to be purchased with money from the temple treasury. I hope you're hearing this. I said after the shekel of the sanctuary, they had to take sanctuary shekels. 30 of them. Because he's the lamb. You see, when the Father looked upon the shekels in the sanctuary for a memorial, it wasn't their count that saved them in war. It was the memorial of God remembering that in the future, his son, who is the Lamb of God, would be sold for 30 pieces of silver. Somebody should praise the Lord. Are you hearing me, saints? 30 pieces of silver from the temple treasury. It had to be from a priest. It had to be shekels after the shekel of the sanctuary. And that is why when Israel went to war, blood evidence, say it with me, blood evidence, messianic markers that saved Israel when they went to war, because the Father, looking down from heaven, what he looked at the shekel sanctuary, remembered that his son would go to a hill called Mount Calvary in the future, and God spared them, remembering what Jesus would do in the future. Because the blood, I want you to understand, he's the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. So because he is the atonement for Israel, this means if you really mark every single salvific event for the nation of Israel in the Hebrew scriptures, you will see it's really the Messiah. Hallelujah. That is a type and a shadow. God had to see a remembrance, a memorial. That's why he said, you got to mark the doors of your house and strike the lintel. Set with me, They had to strike the lintel. Go with me, if you will, to Exodus chapter 12, verse 22. Oh, my God, the way the blood is applied is very important. The blood wasn't just smeared on the door. The blood had to be applied. I said the blood had to be applied accordingly. God had to see it a certain way. Notice, the Lord says, you will take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood. Remember, it's the blood of the lamb. Set with me, the Passover lamb. You will dip it in the blood of the blood that is in the basin. Now notice the word. He didn't say just put it on the door, did he?
No.
He didn't just say apply it to the door, did he?
No.
What did he say?
Strike.
Say it again.
Strike.
Why don't you say it like you're striking it?
Strike.
Okay, say it again.
Strike.
One more time. Strike the door. That means if you know what a hyssop plant looks like, a hyssop plant, there's very many different versions of the hyssop plant in the Middle East. One of the versions of the hyssop plant that grew in Jerusalem was it would come up from the ground with like a trunk. And it would be a trunk with like flimsy vines. I said a trunk, like you hold on to a stem, but it was like a flagellation tool. I said it looked like a Roman flagrum. Maybe you didn't hear me, so let me go over here. The hyssop plant, set with me, the hyssop plant had to look like a Roman flagrum. And it was dipped in the blood. And it had to be struck on the door. Say it with me, strike the door. So it looks like stripes on the door. I said, so it looks like stripes on the door. And this is why God said, hallelujah. Look at verse 13. I want you to see it of Exodus 12. Verse 13 says, going back up in the context of verse 13, Exodus 12, 13, and this blood shall be a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, God had to see it, just like God had to see the memorial of the Shkalim. Hallelujah. When I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague will not be upon you to destroy you. Hallelujah. When I smite the land of Egypt. Do y'all understand? God had to see the blood. It had to look. Now, beloved saints, going back to Exodus 30, the lambs were purchased, and God said it's an atonement for your soul. So we see this piece of blood evidence showing us whenever we're in a battle. I don't know how many people are in a battle tonight, going to war against the enemy. Is there anybody here in a very strong battle? And Satan has stood up against you to accuse you so he can have an entrance to come in to destroy you and take you down. But the devil is a liar. He's not getting away with it. Somebody ought to say this is not happening because it's totally illegal. He's trespassing past the bloodline. Somebody ought to say the devil is trying to trespass past the bloodline. But I've got a word for all demonic spirits, principalities, powers, hexes, and vexes of witchcraft coming against God's people tonight. Hallelujah. The blood is against you. The blood of Jesus is against you. Somebody ought to say, it's my weapon of war. Oh, praise God. Come on, pray in the spirit for a moment. So we have understood tonight two areas of the cross. We have understood the atonement money. And we have also understood the Tamid eternal offering. One in the morning at nine, Jesus, which in Romans times, the third hour, Jesus being crucified, according to Mark 15, as we read in verse 25, Jesus hanging on the cross for 3 hours. Why 3 hours? That's a question, isn't it? Notice he hung for 6 hours, but why 3 hours of darkness? Because the Bible tells us in Exodus, the ninth plague was 3 days of darkness. And the 3 days of darkness was the second to the strongest plague. The strongest plague was the blood of the lamb on the doorposts and the death of the firstborn. Oh, hallelujah. You wonder why does Paul say Jesus is the firstborn? Say he wasn't created. He's God. Go with me to Colossians. I want you to see this. Say he's the firstborn. But he has no beginning and he has no end. So we may be asking, why does Paul call Jesus the firstborn? You will get the cults that will come knocking on your door. And the cults, oh dear Jesus, help us. I'm only saying this not to accuse anybody or find fault with people in any way, but just the doctrine. All right. You will find the cults telling you that being the firstborn, as the Bible says here, looking at Colossians 1:15, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Then we have in verse 17, he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. So we're wondering, why is Paul calling Jesus the firstborn of all creation? When the cults say that, the cults will say he has a beginning. Okay? Jesus is created. He's not divine. They even changed the Bible to another translation. Sounds like they want to look like King James or want to look like another translation. But where it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, they change the words. They say the Word was a God. The cults. I won't tell you which one. Find out yourself. Because I won't speak against them. I'm just telling you what they did, what they do. They'll come with a little magazine. Maybe that's it. I won't lash in horror, but I will tell you what they will do. You'll get it at your door. And they're very determined to tell you Jesus isn't God. Are you hearing me? Because they say the firstborn from the dead. So they say he has a beginning. Wrong. Paul is using the word firstborn. Because he is alluding Jesus Christ to the firstborn who in Egypt, it was through the death of the firstborn that they were released out of Egypt. And so God giving his only son became the firstborn for you and I to be able to come out of our bondage and come out of our Egypt. Are you following me? Do you understand the secret of the firstborn? Oh, hallelujah. Somebody should shout the victory and give God the glory. Hallelujah. We love you, Jesus, and we praise you. So we just pray for our friends who are in deception, and we don't judge. We don't speak evil of them, but we just don't partake of their doctrine. And I say that to you so you never get hooked in, okay? That's the only reason. And so, beloved saints, oh, precious Jesus, oh, we give you praise and we give you glory. So we understand these messianic mysteries, but I'm going to close the service tonight with the final messianic mystery for tonight. Hallelujah. Say every place in the Bible where I see atonement, I will see. Hallelujah. The blood evidence of what happened at Calvary. Say it with me. The blood evidence of what happened at Calvary's cross. It matches perfect. Tell your neighbor, say it's a perfect match. Hallelujah. Only one in the entire Bible, only one on this earth that ever walked can match with every area of atonement. And that is the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, our atonement. Somebody ought to praise him right now. All right, last one. In Leviticus 16, on the Day of Atonement, we shared on Sunday the first Day of Atonement. But the actual Day of Atonement that was set up in Leviticus 16 tells us something about the blood. Leviticus 16, verse 14. The high priest shall take the blood, and the Bible says in verse 14, and he will take the blood of the bullock and sprinkle it with his finger upon the mercy seat eastward. Before the mercy seat shall he sprinkle of the blood with his finger seven times. All right, this is for every different offering that was offered on Day of Atonement. And so in the Mishnah, there's a question that's asked. In the Mishnah, the question is asked, how did the high priest sprinkle the blood? Okay, and it's called mekatzlif. Set with me, mekatzlif. Actually, they answered the question and they said, well, the priest, when he sprinkles the blood seven times, it must be Mekatz leaf. Mekatz leaf was a certain way of the hand movement. First it would go down, then it would go up. And one of the comments on the way that it would be the way that a lasher lashes. That's what it says in the Mishnah. So the blood was to be applied on the mercy seat with a certain movement that it looks like a whip, that it looks like the person is being lashed, like a lasher. Are you with me? So we see so many messianic miracles all throughout the Bible. Tonight, I want you to stand. I want you to raise your hands toward heaven, because tonight is a night of breakthrough.
Thank you for joining us today on Day of Destiny. We invite you to our website at mydayofdestiny.com, where you can easily access other podcasts and obtain your copy of Dr. Corral's latest book, Secrets of the Anointing. Also, we want to take this moment to invite you to engage in extending your hand of kindness by planting your seed or offering for multitudes that include orphans, providing water wells, providing medical supplies, clinics, feeding programs, and many other services to the suffering church and through efforts of evangelism worldwide. Just go to our website and click the donate button or text to give. Text HESED, C-H-E-S-E-D to 7797. That's HESED, C-H-E-S-E-D to 7797. You are also invited to visit Dr. Michelle Corral Facebook or Instagram. We look forward to having you encounter the anointing with us on our next Day of Destiny podcast.